who God is and his holiness and his might that we go viral. We want people to know this awesome God and who he is and what he can do in their lives, but just his sheer awesomeness, his greatness. We want people to know that. So may we be inspired to share his good news. If you are newer with us, we're in the midst of a series called Going Viral from the Book of Acts in the Bible. And you'll find Acts after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the New Testament. So if you want to turn over there, we're going to be in chapter 13. And to begin today, just as we did last week, we have a story via video from Amy Jeter. And Amy's been a part of our church for many years. And she shares how she had the opportunity and followed the Holy Spirit's leading to go viral with her father as well as a neighbor. And so let's watch this and learn from it and be encouraged.
My name's Amy Jeter, and I'm a viral agent. Many years ago, I was sitting in a church service, and I heard a pastor talking about how, as Christians, we really need to have a heart for lost people. And that day, I prayed that God would give me a heart for lost people. In 2005, my dad was getting ready to have major surgery, and he had never accepted Jesus into his heart as Savior. My dad was basically a really good person according to worldly standards. He shared his garden food with all the elderly and the widows in the community, and he just basically loved people. He would do anything he could for them. And the night before his surgery, I was able to talk with my dad about the Lord. It was hard to tell my dad that he was a sinner because he was always doing such good works. I asked him how much of his garden food he would have to share before God would accept him into heaven. And so he understood that, and that night he accepted Jesus as his Savior, and it was like one of the happiest days of my life. In 2008, which was just like about 2.5 or 3 years later, my dad passed away from an aneurysm. So it was really a good thing that I was able to talk with my dad that night. Well, there are actually two people that this story has affected. He had neighbors that had lived beside my mom and dad for 40-some years. The Lord had laid on my heart that I needed to go and speak with them because neither one of them had gone to church all their life. And I knew that time was running out. They may not have a lot of time left. I went to speak with them one day, and they accepted, that day they didn't accept the Lord as their Savior. Then several months later, I was home again visiting my mom, and God laid it on my heart to go back and speak with Bob and Jane because I really didn't think they understood it the first time I talked with them. So I went back, and this time I really didn't want to go. So because my dad and Bob were such good friends and they were also gardening buddies, I was able to tell Bob about my dad accepting Jesus as his Savior and also was able to use the garden food illustration to illustrate to him that you don't get to heaven by good works. God is offering you a gift that is wrapped with a really pretty bow, and it's free. All you have to do is accept it. You don't have to do anything to get this gift. And so Bob, a light kind of went on in Bob, and he said that day, he said, "I think I finally understand it." And so he prayed to accept Jesus as his Savior that day, and his wife prayed too. 3 to 4 months later, Bob died, and probably about a year later, his wife died also. It really changed my life because I found that if you obey God, that great things can happen, and that there is this spiritual battle going on, and you know, you have to pray for God's help. Sometimes you just can't do these things on your own. I would say, first of all, pray that God would give you a heart to love unsaved people and to want to see them come to the Lord.
It's awesome how God worked through Amy and in the lives of her dad as well as the neighbors. I think what her story highlights is, first of all, the urgency of the gospel. It's urgent that we get this good news out to our family members and neighbors. And life is short whether you get 96 years or whether you get 37. And so it's really important for us to be sharing the gospel. But also, just as Amy highlighted, it's a spiritual battle. It takes sheer obedience sometimes just to walk across the driveway and say hello to a neighbor or whatever it may be. And so I pray God will use her story in our lives to spur us on to be going viral. As I mentioned today, we're going to be in Acts chapter 13, and we're going to be talking about a church at the city of Antioch. And this is a church that had gone viral as an entire church. We're going to talk today about the theme of starting new churches, which is something we've been talking a lot about the last year, especially here at our church. It's also known as church planting. If you ever heard that term, church planting, why do they keep talking church? What does that mean? It means starting a new church from the very beginning, and then it grows up, okay, like a plant would. And so starting new churches. The first time I heard about this as far as a church going viral and starting new churches was a church that Gina and I were members of in the Chicago area. One day the pastor announced that he and the elders had talked, and they had set a goal of planting 10 churches in 10 years. And by God's grace, they far exceeded that within the 10 years, and they've really gone viral throughout the world with that vision. It's tremendous what God has done through that church. I was part of a church in Michigan for 7 years where we financially supported new church starts and maybe even sent a few people for just a short time, but we weren't personally involved in starting a new church. And then here at Findlay Evangelical Free Church, we've supported financially church plants in the region and elsewhere. Even many few years ago, I think we maybe sent some people up to Bowling Green to help out for just a little bit. But this is the first time that we have financially and personally supported a new work. And what we're talking about is the launch of our Lighthouse campus here in the next few weeks. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. A few months, I should say, not weeks. Maybe it'll be weeks. We don't know. But certainly in the next few months. So Acts chapter 13, again, is about the church at Antioch and how they went viral throughout the world. And so I'm going to read verses 1 through 4 of 13, and then we're all going to read together chapter 14, verses 21 through 28. I will warn you, there's some of those hard-to-pronounce names from the ancient Near Eastern world in there, so just do your best, but you'll get the gist of the passage. There's not that many, but I just want to give you a little heads up. Okay, Acts chapter 13, 1 through 4. Now there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. Okay, Acts 14, verses 21 through 28. Let's all read these together. Let's lift our voices. Sorry, I got to find it in my Bible first. There we go. All right. After they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, "Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God." When they had appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. They passed through Pisidia and came into Pamphylia. When they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From there they sailed to Antioch, from which they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had accomplished. When they had arrived and gathered the church together, they began to report all things that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles, and they spent a long time with the disciples. All right, thank you for reading God's word with me. What we did there is we read bookends. The beginning, when the church of Antioch sent out Paul and Barnabas, and then we read the result at the very end, and then they came back and reported to the church. In between, there was a whole lot of work that went on as far as spreading the good news and gathering people and helping them to grow in the faith. And we'll talk a little bit about that. But this is what we see. When a church goes viral, we see the end result. New churches are started in various places throughout the nations. So today I've organized the message into three traits of a viral church. Viral church meaning outgoing, outreaching, starting new works, telling people about Jesus. So here's the first trait. A viral church is sensitive to the Holy Spirit. A viral church is sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We see this very clearly with these leaders, these prophets and teachers. In verse 1 and following, these five men were gathered together and were worshiping and praying and fasting to the Lord. So this tells us something, that they had a designated time set apart for this. And the Holy Spirit clearly said to them, set apart Barnabas and Saul for this particular work. Now we don't know exactly how he spoke. Perhaps it was through scripture. Perhaps it was through an impression on all of them, speaking to their spirits. Perhaps it was through prayer. We don't know exactly. But it was clear to everybody that Paul and Barnabas were to be sent out from this location to other locations to spread this good news. I think we can also assume, it's a bit of an inference, but we can assume that the church was involved in this. After the initial of the leaders hearing that these two were to be sent out, it says in verse 3, get back here. Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. I believe the church was involved in that, given other patterns in the book of Acts. As well as, if you're going to send two of the best teachers away, I think the church probably needs to know, hey, where's Paul and Barnabas? Oh, we sent them out on a missionary journey a week ago. What? We didn't hear about this? And so the whole church is sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading and affirmed the Spirit's call on their lives. It says they prayed and fasted, laying hands on them, meaning commissioning them. I want us to be reminded as a church that going viral is the Holy Spirit's mission. It's not something that we think and motivate and are strengthened within ourselves to do. It's the Holy Spirit that does this. It's His mission. It's an eternal mission. It's not this temporal, man-made enterprise where we tell people about Jesus. We have a divine commission to go and spread the gospel. I'll remind you of Acts chapter 1:8, which is a key verse for understanding the entire book. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in both Jerusalem and in Judea and all Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. And so we've seen that pattern unfold, haven't we, in the book of Acts? The gospel started in Jerusalem, then it went to the surrounding areas in Judea, and now it's gone out to Samaria in Acts 8, and then beyond with the conversion of the Apostle Paul or Saul of Tarsus. So the Holy Spirit speaks in verse 2. The Holy Spirit strategizes, set apart for me, these two men for the work for which I have called them. This was not a spur-of-the-moment decision. I called them, so you guys need to release them to go and do this. He strategizes. He also sends. Verse 4, interesting. It doesn't say that the church got together and held a potluck and prayed for these guys and said, go. The church sent them off. No, it says the Holy Spirit sent them off. This is very much a divine directive. These men are to go and do this. Who is the church to stand in the way? That's the tone that comes across. And then he strengthens them in the midst of it. Chapter 13, verse 9, if you'll just look there for just a couple of seconds. It says, Saul, who was also known as Paul, so from now on he becomes known as Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, fixed his gaze on this man, and he spoke a very strong word to him. So you see the Spirit strengthening Paul and Barnabas for the work that they had done. Just as we talk about sharing the gospel with friends, you feel a strange peace or courage to do so, or somehow words came to your mind that were like, where'd that come from? You know, think of our video. Amy shared that great illustration of the garden ministry, the garden. How much do you need to give away for God to accept you? That's something that person could understand as an analogy of that we can't make it to heaven on our own. It's a gift. And so the Spirit gives us those things. So I think a valid question for us, and something I pondered this week, is are we sensitive to the Holy Spirit as a church. Now, we are by no means perfect, but I believe, with a clear conscience before God, that I believe that we have been sensitive to the Holy Spirit in the sense of this Lighthouse Campus launch. Okay, because truth is, I've never done anything like this before. Some of our leaders perhaps have been involved in something like this, but not many of us. So this is taking steps of faith. What do we do next? Well, do that. Okay, what's next? We don't know. We're supposed to do this right now. And so you keep taking those steps of faith. And so back in 2013, our elders, as part of our strategic planning process, we had a goal. One of the goals on our sheet was to expand beyond our current location in the year 2016. So, okay, we got, well, praise God, we're up to that point. So what we did to help further that along is we put together a ministry expansion team, and they did some research to help narrow the scope a little bit for us. And then part of that team got the idea, what would it look like if we used the Lighthouse building and got into a bit of a partnership with Youth for Christ? And so they explored that, and it turns out that we were able to sign a lease with the Lighthouse, with Youth for Christ at the Lighthouse. And then we started the process of looking for a campus pastor, and that's what the vote is for today as a congregation, as a membership. Simultaneously, a launch team began to form, and people were praying individually as well as groups all this while. And so I believe that the Spirit has led us to this point. And so we keep marching on step by step. But I also think we should ask it as individuals. Are we being sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading in our lives when it comes to going viral? Remember our main application? We're reaching up in prayer. Who are we praying for to come to know Christ? Do you have three people that you're praying for? Are we praying for them regularly? Then we're reaching out in relationship. Are we taking intentional steps to get into relationships with people? And then are we taking that step of faith where we reach in with the gospel? You know, that again, we talk about the dry mouth, the sweaty palms moment where it's like, take a leap. Have you ever thought about God? You ever thought about what happens to you when you leave this world? What are your spiritual beliefs? And maybe you get a chance to share the testimony or whatever it may be, but being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit says to you, that book on that table out there, that little gospel book, I think he'd read that. So then you grab the book and you take it to John at work the next day, or you know, call Sally and ask her to go out for coffee, whatever it may be. What is that next step that the Spirit wants you to take? Just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So a viral church is sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Here's a second trait. A viral church sends out its best. We see this very clearly in verse 1. I wrote this down. God's work trumps our comfort. God's work trumps our comfort. What we see going on in Antioch was a fantastic teaching team. Fantastic teaching team. You've got Andy Stanley and James McDonald and David Jeremiah and all these Chuck Swindoll all on the same team in Antioch. This is amazing. And people are all jazzed up about their church. You got to come to my church and hear our pastors and teachers. They're amazing. And so, first of all, Barnabas, we're told about him. Back in chapter 4, verse 36, we learn his real name is Joseph. His nickname is Barnabas, meaning son of encouragement. He's a Levite, so it means he's a Jew, and he is of Cyprian birth, meaning he was born on the island of Cyprus. So he's born outside of Israel, although he's an Israelite. But Barnabas, being the son of encouragement, when the people in Antioch heard his sermon, they go home and they're like, oh, I am so convinced of God's love for me and God's grace. Wasn't that such a comforting message today that we heard from Pastor Barnabas? That's just his style. That's who he is. He's a son of encouragement. Then we learn of Simeon. This is a man who is called Niger, which means black. So he has black skin. He's a dark-skinned man. You've got an international teaching team here. Lucius is from Cyrene, which is northern Africa. Manaen is a childhood friend of Herod the Tetrarch, so he's most likely a Galilean. Galilee is the region in the north. Judea is where Jerusalem is. Galilee is in the region in the north by the Sea of Galilee. And then you've got Saul, who's a Jew from Tarsus, but also spent time in Jerusalem. Imagine telling people that Saul of Tarsus is your pastor. Well, now, you got to come and hear my pastor. Who is he? Saul of Tarsus, are you kidding me? The guy that persecuted, this is amazing. I'll come to your church. Yeah, I want to hear his story. What a dramatic conversion. And so you've got all five of these teachers, amazing teachers. This is an ethnically diverse and international teaching team, which I think reflects the heart of God, calling people from every tribe and tongue and nation, different skin colors, different dialects, different backgrounds. This is an exciting church to be part of, for sure. It had been very comfortable at the church of Antioch. You got five fantastic teachers. And as someone who's hired six positions in 6 years, keeping that team together is a very big motivation. Let's keep this team together. Let's not hire anybody else to come in. And so let's keep this team going. It's just us. We've got a great things going. Antioch was rocking. If you go back to chapter 11, verse 22, you'll see what I mean. Chapter 11, verse 22 says this, "The news about Antioch reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch." The church at Jerusalem was like, what's going on in Antioch? These amazing things are happening. People are coming to Christ in droves, and they're being discipled, and this is such a vibrant, dynamic, new work. What's going on? And so it was a great place. Five great teachers and prophets, including Paul and Barnabas. Awesome teachers. Now here's the point. Here's a warning for us. It's hard to let go of what's comfortable and enjoyable, isn't it? Our church is amazing. We've got the best kids program. We've got awesome music on Sunday morning for worshiping. You know, our pastoral staff is fantastic. Let's just keep everything together. We have new chairs and they're so comfortable. Let's just keep all of this together. It's my church and it's just wonderful. But the Holy Spirit said, send out Paul and Barnabas, your best, send them out. That would have ripped, you know when you lose a relationship, it kind of rips and tears. That would have ripped and tore a little bit. But the Holy Spirit is doing a great work, and he's about to do a great work in the nations. And he says, I selected these men. You need to send them off. Don't hold on to them. And so think about all of us here. We belong to each other, yes, but we ultimately belong to the Lord. So if the Lord says, I want these people to go here, this person to go here, we have to be open-handed. And yes, it hurts. We don't like to lose those relationships. We'll meet up again in heaven, but it is hard. But we have to be willing to follow the Lord's lead. So I think about our Lighthouse campus and being generous with God's servants. There's about 30 people who have said, I'm going to be part of this launch team. We're going to go with this new work. And that's exciting. But it's also hard because those are our friends. I'm not going to see you as often. I mean, thankfully, we're still one church in two locations in Findlay, but you're not going to see each other as much. And so we might be tempted to say, no, don't leave. You're my friend. Stay here. Or, you're the best Sunday school teacher my kid has ever had. You can't leave now. I've got two other kids coming up behind. I want them to have you as the teacher. And we have to be open-handed with God's servants. So even though friendships will change, we must be generous to send out workers as the Holy Spirit has spoken to each one, saying, I want you to be part of this work for now. Just join the team, and I'll direct you later. Also, I think about our ministry fair today. As these leaders go out to be part of this new work, that means there's going to be some volunteer opportunities for the rest of us who maybe aren't serving yet. And the thing that happens with leaders, the people who are doing a lot, there's a reason they do a lot, because that's the type of person they are. And when there's something new, they're like, I want to go and be part of that, which means there's some leadership vacancies back here. But the beautiful part of this is that God has equipped his body just as he needs. And so there are people here who will come into those positions and will do a fantastic job serving the Lord and teaching Sunday school and all of these different things. And so it gives you an opportunity to now use your spiritual gifts and develop those to help equip the body of Christ. All right, let me share this illustration with you, a picture on the screen. This is my portion of my garage. You can tell what stage of life I'm in. Two booster seats there. And on the right is a bag of grass seed. And there's that cabinet there. It opens up. And I've had that bag of grass seed since the spring. I meant to do some patching of different areas of my lawn, but didn't get to it. But here's what's happened. Here's the insanity of what's happened in the last few months. In that cabinet is my gas can for my lawnmower. So when I need to fill up my lawnmower, I take the seats off, take the bag of grass seed off, reach in there, grab the can, fill up the lawnmower, put it back, close the lid, take the seats, put it back up, put the grass seed back up there. I think that's called insanity, right? But grass seed isn't meant to stay in the bag. It's not performing its purpose. So tomorrow, I've rented from KT Rental an aerator. And no, I will not come and do your lawn, okay? And so I'm going to do my lawn, and I'm going to spread that grass seed so that the grass seed will do what it's supposed to meet the dirt and the rain and the sun, and that grass seed is going to embed in that dirt, and then it's going to do what God made it to, and it's going to grow and multiply. And I'm going to have a really lush lawn, right? But the point is, when we hoard God's people, when we say, no, my comfort is more important than God's work, we're keeping that grass seed in that bag. That's not what it's meant to do. It's meant to be scattered. It's meant to be thrown out so that it can grow and multiply into healthy things, okay? So you guys get the point. A viral church sends out its best. All right, now let's move on to this third trait, and that is that a viral church sticks to the strategy to start new churches. There's a stick-to-itiveness in the work of evangelism and discipleship. There's a perseverance that needs to happen. And we see that in chapters 13 and 14. At our church, we have some core values. Two of those core values are courageous evangelism and missions. So courageous evangelism and missions. And then strategic discipleship. Courageous evangelism and missions reflects the biblical language of they went out and spoke the word of God with boldness. There's courage there. It's, you know, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you because it's risky work. So it has to be courageous. Strategic discipleship is about multiplying yourself. And so I'm not just going to do all the work myself. I'm going to get some other people around me that I can build into them, and then we can multiply the work, which is what's going on with Lighthouse Campus as an example. So in the Church of Antioch, evangelism and discipleship was part of their DNA. Let's go back to chapter 11, verses 19 through 21. I'll show you what I mean. It's part of their DNA. Chapter 11, 19 through 21. Then those who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except to Jews alone. By the way, let me point this out. Saul started a persecution against the church, which scattered people from Jerusalem to these various areas. One of those was Antioch. Later, Antioch becomes the church that sends out Saul throughout the world. Isn't that funny how God works? It's incredible. Verse 20, but there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began to speaking to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus, and the hand of the Lord is with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. So evangelism, going viral, was part of the church's DNA. And then verse 25 and 26, you'll see discipleship. Barnabas left for Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for an entire year, they met with the church and taught considerable numbers, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. So you see, evangelism, discipleship, part of the DNA of the church at Antioch. So the point, though, here is that you got to take that same strategy, it's the mission of Jesus, and go out to the nations and do the same thing. Spread the word and then build up those who believe. So we have a map here of Paul and Barnabas' journey. I know it's hard to see, so I have my little laser pointer here. This actually reflects all three of Paul's missionary journeys. We're just going to reflect on one of them. So they started in Antioch over here, came down to the island of Cyprus, spread the word throughout this island, went up into this area, landed at Perga, went up to Antioch, chapter 13, and there's a different Antioch. They spread the gospel there, then they went over to Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, and then came back through, now that's the orange arrow, these cities, building up the disciples, and sailed back to Antioch, where they gave a report to the church. About 1,800 miles or so. The estimates and what I read was about two or three years of missionary journey there, okay? I remember they're not taking planes or riding on motorcycles. This is by boat and by foot. But here's something we need to understand when we go viral. Going viral is really exciting. So if you look at chapter 13, verses 42, let me just point out a couple of things, starting in verse 42. As Paul and Barnabas were going out, the people kept begging that these things might be spoken to them the next Sabbath. So they preached the gospel in the synagogue at Antioch, Pisidia, Antioch. Now when the meeting of the synagogue had broken up, many of the Jews and of the God-fearing proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, were urging them to continue in the grace of God. Verse 44, the next Sabbath, nearly the whole city assembled to hear the word of the Lord. And Paul and Barnabas said, "This is awesome! Preaching the gospel and people are responding. This is amazing!" It's exciting when you share the gospel and people are like, "Yeah, I get that. I know I need that. How do I receive the Lord?" And that's what was going on. They're following him saying, "Tell us more, tell us more, tell us more." So it's really exciting when that happens. But then we also have to have the other side of it. Going viral is really hard. Chapter 14, verse 19. If you want to flip over there, chapter 14, verse 19. Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having won over the crowds in Lystra, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. Okay, so here's what happened. They moved on to Lystra, but Jews who didn't like what Paul said in Antioch came over and gathered others from Iconium and went down to Lystra, incited the people against them, stoned them, dragged them out of the city thinking he was dead, but Paul got up, went back into the city, and moved on to Derbe the next day. That's hard. I mean, rocks were thrown at him. And this is actually the experience of many Christians in the world today. When they share the gospel, their lives are in danger. And so we need to pray for the persecuted church and pray that the gospel will go out through their courageous efforts in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so let's be strengthened by the persecuted church that they're doing it. They keep going. They don't close their mouths. And so let's draw courage from our brothers and sisters in Christ. But the encouragement here is that God is on our side. Chapter 13, verse 49, the word of the Lord was being spread through the whole region. The whole region. Even though there was opposition, there was also acceptance, and the word was being spread throughout the whole region, even though there was some hard going there for a time. So the point, just like we talked about last week, is keep going viral, because God's good news cannot be stopped. He's unstoppable. And so let's get on that team and spread the gospel. So the result of going viral, we read it earlier, chapter 14, verse 21, 23, was the multiplication of churches. It said they went back through these towns, strengthening the disciples, encouraging them. They appointed elders to oversee these local congregations. And then they went back, commending to the Lord through prayer and fasting, and they went back to Antioch. When you hear the phrase, starting new churches, don't hear, they built new church buildings. It's not the same. They started new churches. They gathered the believers into groups so there could be encouragement and the apostles' teaching could be taught and prayed together and all of that, just like you see in Acts chapter 2. But here you go. This church now has come full circle. Evangelists and disciplers came in early on, and then later in the life of the church, God says, send out these two. And so they prayed and fasted. Now they went out, started new churches, and prayed and fasted, and then came back to the sending church. And this is, scripturally, this is what God wants from every Christian. Where we come to Christ, we grow in our faith, then we help another person come to Christ and help them grow in their faith, who then goes out and brings other people to Christ. It's multiplication. And this is what God wants of Christians. This is what God wants of churches. We need to get out of the bag and scatter and be planted in different places. Okay, our church is 29 years old, and we've come full circle too. We're now, the first core group of families began to meet, seeing a need for a Bible teaching church in Findlay. And now 29 years later, we're launching out a new work. And I'll tell you, the elders have even been thinking through, what does Acts 13 mean for the direction of our church and what God would want from us? And so we're pondering these things also. So a viral church is sensitive to the Holy Spirit, sends out its best, and sticks to the strategy to start new churches. Now, I know the question every single one of you is asking, Pastor Blair, How can I be involved in starting new churches? I can see it on your face. I'm so glad that you asked, because here's a couple of ways that you may not think about. First of all, there's a few people from our church who are going to Columbia in mid-September, and they're going to go down and join with the churches there and share the gospel. And so that's one way, is through mission work. Another way is on October 23rd, we're hosting the Operation Christmas Child shoebox build right here in this building. And so the whole building, the room gets transformed here. And you might think, how could stuffing toys into a box have anything to do with church planting? Well, let me tell you. Samaritan's Purse sends these shoe boxes throughout the world, various places, especially where the gospel isn't preached. And so when that box gets there, a kid-friendly and a booklet in the local language is put into that box. And so the kid learns about Jesus and introduces the family to Jesus. Then a local leader, if anybody wants to follow up, he gives them a discipleship book, leads them through some basic discipleship materials, and churches have been started through this Samaritan's Purse Operation Christmas Child program. We get to be part of that on the front end, where we're putting the boxes together and praying over these boxes. Another step you can take is to go to Baltimore in Baltimore, there's a collection center, and this is where all the boxes from kind of the Northeast come together. And so you can work with the boxes. Pastor Dave got to go last year, me and Steve Paler, and then Nelson Randolph is there in the orange shirt. And so you get to put these boxes together and see the next step. We're putting together a team that's going to go there for 2 days. You leave one day, work in the afternoon, work in the morning of the next day, and come back. And so we'll give you more details on that. But then this picture, you also have a whole lot of fun with some of the things that are in the box, okay? And so this is something that you can be involved in, international church planting on the front end. More immediately, out in the lobby, we have our ministry fair. And so you'll see various ways that you can be involved. All the ministries are important, but let me highlight two. Children's ministry is kicking off a new discipleship and outreach program on Wednesday nights. And this is a way that you can build into the lives of kids to either help them grow in their faith or to tell them the gospel of Christ. And perhaps as God works in their heart, they'll believe. You never know. We may have missionaries and pastors and Christian leaders of the future that are only in this size of a package right now. And you get a chance to build into their lives. Pastor Dave and I met on Thursday to pray. And one of the things we prayed is that, God, would you raise up missionaries and Christian workers from this in this church? Because I believe a sign of a healthy church is when people are being sent out and missionaries and Christian workers are being raised up. And so that's a prayer. A second one I want to quickly highlight is the Lighthouse Campus. They have a display out there. Multi-site, Lighthouse, what is that all about? Stop by. Ask him what this thing is all about and see if that might be a way that God would lead you. But certainly there's other ones you can check out too to get involved in going viral. Okay, I'm going to ask our worship team to come on up. And we're going to end the service with the song called Build Your Kingdom Here. Let this be a prayer from our hearts and from our church that the Lord would use us to continue to build his kingdom. That we be a church that goes viral as a whole community, not just as individuals, but as a whole community in our region and even our world can be transformed, okay? So let's stand together and let's get ready to sing.